Glass from Green Thumb Nursery is going to take your phone calls and answer your gardening questions and give you some gardening tips for the coming season. Green Country Gardener, brought to you on AM 1400 K1 by ABS Performance, by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, U Picket Fence, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peters True Value Hardware, along with American Heritage Bank, Enterprise Sod Store, ABS Performance, and by Overlays Woods Lumber. So now, it's time for Green Country Gardener on AM 1400 K1. And a good Saturday morning to you. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Larry's back in to answer some questions. Good morning.
Charlie, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Yesterday I read this forecast for today, and as of yesterday it was using the words rain likely throughout much of the day today, and now we're down to a 50-50 shot on some rainfall, and looking at radar, it appears a lot of the weather went north and skipped
and
over.
South and in east and west.
Yeah.
It's that Bartlesville brilliance.
It is.
That's what it is.
Yeah, okay.
So, anyway, it is really dry out there.
Yes, it is.
So, one thing we have to be very conscious of, especially on our new plants, is watering.
Yes, and it's so easy to forget that new plant because everything else that's out there is doing okay.
And all plants have different requirements as far as how much water they should have. And a very important question to ask when picking out a plant or buying one at the nursery or anywhere is, how do I water this thing? How often do I water? How much do I water?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the biggest question we get.
Yeah, oh, sure.
And there's so many variables in that equation.
Well, too much is bad. Too little is probably worse.
The best rule of thumb on new plants and watering is, first of all, be conscious of the amount of water that's around it. If you're planting a tree, for instance, I have done some this week in an area where the ground is just desperately dry, the groundwater is going to absorb the water you put on your tree. So it's going to go in both directions. It's going to go into the tree to feed the water of the tree and all that, keep it going. And it's also going to go and diffuse into the ground. So you're going to have to kind of double down on it a little bit. And fortunately, the reservoir is doing pretty good right now.
Yes,
but anyway, you're going to have to make sure that you water the plant at the root ball and let it run out from there. And if that's not enough, if the ground around it starts to dry and cake up, you want to just probably just add a small sprinkler on it and water it for a fairly long period of time.
Okay.
And to get it established. And once it gets established, a new tree, still you have to be aware of that. And there's kind of a rule of thumb we developed, and that is the first week you have your plant, your new baby plant in the yard.
Oh, it's so neat. Yeah.
Yeah. It, like, kind of like baby birds that come out. We had some come out of our robin's nest this week at the house. They're just flitting around the yard or up on the roof of the house. Little baby birds everywhere. They've grown up, I guess. They do grow so quickly.
They do.
But anyway, the new plant in the yard, you want to make sure you take care of it real well. And be aware of how the grass around the tree looks, if it's well watered or not. And look at the plant, and if it starts to show some wilt, well, it's time to really water real heavily when you do that. And as time goes on, the roots sort of go out a little bit. You just can't neglect it. So the second week, you might go every other day on your watering.
Okay.
And the third week, perhaps go every third day. And after that, just kind of watch it and water it when it starts to wilt a little bit. And then it should do okay.
Okay.
That's kind of a rule I follow at my house. Is I don't water my things until they wilt. And when I do, the hose sits on it for a while until it's saturated in the area around it so that it has a chance to.
Well, and you talked about this before, watering, of course, now we're talking about more established plants, you know, trying to mimic what would naturally occur. We generally don't, when we get rain, it's not just, you know, rain for 15 minutes and then stop.
Generally, yeah.
Yeah.
But this year, thank you very much, we've had really not any really appreciable rain.
We really haven't. No,
since when?
I was looking at the climatological data earlier this morning. And for the month, well, we haven't gotten really all that month. We have only gotten 69 hundredths this month. Typically, for the month, that we get around four and a half. Since the 1st of January, and we were dry before that, but we are on the minus side nearly 9.36 inches of rainfall on the minus side since the 1st of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's starting to show up.
Yeah.
People's lawns are starting to brown out. And I'm just watering my big trees just to keep them going and move the hose back and forth. It's on a timer, and it turns on at 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever. And it waters the grass and the area underneath the trees because they're big and it'll be expensive to take out and expensive to replace. And they're maple trees, and the soil is shallow, and I just don't want them to die.
Yeah.
So that's the primary focus of the lawn watering at this point. And the shrubs and the flowers in the front, those are watered. Bermuda grass will survive.
Yes.
So it'll be all right. And I'd give it a little bit of water when it gets desperate. But
but the new plants, whether it was a tree or something more or flowering or ornamental, those still require...
Right. And a sprinkler system on a new tree typically is not enough. You have to be specific with the irrigation. A sprinkler system distributes water over a general area, general broad-based area, keeps the moisture levels up and all that. But the root ball of the tree is a very confined area, so you have to make sure to water it, even though you do have a sprinkler system, water it specifically. Because, golly, in a few hours, it'll dry up. Because when they're in the container, they have to be watered daily, if not more, when it's hot, for them to stay alive. So just some real schools of thought right there.
Okay.
And you do want your trees to grow healthy and be prepared for the upcoming winter.
Sure. We have plenty of time to get that established, but they've got to survive the first couple of 3 weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The warm weather is not an issue with the plants. They're very adaptable. They can handle the hot weather just fine. It's the dryness that they really can't tolerate. Mm-hmm. Or if they're overwatered, the overwatering is another problem. I go to people, my tree died. What happened to it? And you pull on it, and it comes up. Well, there it is.
Yeah.
So
smells like socks down there.
Really. But anyway, so you just have to kind of use a little judgment when you water, too.
Okay. I mean,
it's all part of that. And just not really saturate it, because most of the plants, trees and plants, are not bottomland swamp trees.
Yeah. 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936 on this Green Country Gardener Memorial Day Weekend Edition. We're still looking for your phone calls. If you have questions, regardless of whether we're talking watering or location or plants, plant selection, whatever it might be, give us a call. Larry will answer your question, give you the best advice available over the radio this morning, and so give you a place to start. What are the hours for the
Memorial Day? 9 to 3.
9 to 3.
Sunday, of course, tomorrow is 12 to 5, and today is 9 to 5:30. But we have some memorial pots. We have about 150 memorial pots, thinking, oh, that'll be enough.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. we're really selling them, and they're beautiful this year.
Good.
And you can put them out at the cemetery, then bring them home, and either put them in a big container or plant them in the garden somewhere and give you a good spot of color.
We do have a call, and we'll say, good morning, caller. You're on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
Yes, sir. I've got a problem with wood bees.
Yes.
How do I take care of that?
There are several remedies for wood bees. Some people say take some plastic wood and fill the holes at night where they are. But they'll work themselves out again. I take either a weed eater twine. You cut off a chunk from the weed eater and force it up in there at night. And you'll hear him kind of buzzing around and it'll quit.
Right.
I've got a cedar pergola at my house, and I keep a bottle of soapy water handy and spray them with that. That's another way to do it. And another way, if they get really bad, is I take some carburetor and the air induction cleaner.
Oh, okay.
At a night, and because they come with a long tube, and spray it up into the hole, and it does a good job of wiping them out too. So,
okay.
Timing is important, and you can do it at night because they're going to be there at night. And,
right.
That's one way.
Right. I went around and siliconed all the holes. They just dug it right out. So, yeah.
So you can either kill them physically with a weed eater string, or you can spray insecticide up in there. There's all kinds of insecticides that'll work. But
right.
Yeah. You know, or I just get some carb cleaner and spray it in there, and that that does them in very quickly.
Okay, well, they're about to take over, so I've got to do something.
Yeah, but it's important to do that at night because they don't fly, they can't see.
Right.
And bring a flashlight out there and zing them then, and that should take care of them.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right,
thank you very much for the phone call. That can be a problem because they move in quickly.
Yeah, and they do make special insecticides for them and all that, but it's kind of hard to get. Because the timing is very specific, and people aren't going to stock it.
Right.
Yeah, but they all the time.
It sits on their shelf for the other 48 weeks out of the year.
That's right. But anyway, wood bees are a little bit of a problem, and tennis rackets work well, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Practice your aim. And
I had not considered that.
Yeah. Wouldn't use the good one, though.
Oh, no. 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936. And I guess the holes would be just be big enough, you could, you know, like you said, get a flashlight and you can see where they've eaten.
Well, just
hole.
So you don't stumble over everything, yeah, you know, and you can see the hole at night and then get rid of them that way. But personally, I've had the experience with them, and I've used those methodologies, and they've worked rather well to to get rid of them. Oh, Charlie, poor thing.
918-336-1400. We'll take a quick break and continue on Green Country Gardener in just a moment.
OK Federal Credit Union is open to anyone that lives, works, or worships in Washington, Osage, or Nowata counties. Being a Bartlesville-based credit union since 1955, they know their members. OK Federal Credit Union has checking accounts with no monthly fee and actually pays you a dividend as long as your balance stays over $400. With competitive rates for cars, boats, RVs, and more, OK Federal Credit Union will make your dreams a reality. Stop by and join OK Federal Credit Union today at 3900 Southeast Adams Road or visit their website at okfcu.org. OK Federal Credit Union. They want to be your credit union.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses wants you to know it's not too late to plant. Green Thumb is still getting shipments in on a daily basis of annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, and veggies to make your landscape and gardens thrive. And as a reminder, every Wednesday is 10% discount day on regular priced items. Trust the experts at Green Thumb Nursery. They know plants. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 and noon to 5 on Sundays.
Ready to roll this season? Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville invites you to get in, get ready, and get rolling with tractors and equipment built New Holland Smart. The New Holland Ready to Roll sales event is in full swing. Jensen Tractor Ranch has 0% financing or cash back on just about every new model tractor or hay and forage equipment from New Holland. Now is the time to buy, as you can purchase with no finance charges. But don't wait. The Ready to Roll sales event ends June 30th. Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville is ready. Are you? Stop in today. Get in. Get ready. Get rolling. For commercial use only, 0% financing offer subject to credit qualification and CNH Industrial Capital approval. CNH Industrial Capital standard terms and conditions apply. Down payment may be required. Certain other restrictions may apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2014. See your participating New Holland dealer for details.
918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. The numbers to get you on Green Country Gardener this morning. And, well, talking about, first of all, just some dry ground conditions, but also had a call on, well, specifically would be, but pests in general. And
yes, I've noticed that a lot. The boxwoods are starting to get mites. I mean, we talked about that a month ago.
Right.
And we're kind of running out of good insecticides for that. And I was going through it and talking with some people and say, yeah, I just use soapy water on mine, and then you have to do it over and over again.
I was going to say that soapy water will do it, but the reverse side of the coin is one or two applications is not going to get the job done.
No, you have to be persistent with it, and at least you'll have clean shrubs. But, like a hose-in sprayer will work very well to control the spider mites.
Okay.
Because it mixes a whole lot of soap in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of it at a time. It does a great amount of it, and it's a very quick way to combine soap with water to take care of the mite problems. And the mites, it works physiologically; it smothers them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to breathe through their skin. Now, mites are real tiny little insects; they're very hard to see.
Yeah,
you can do the paper test and find out where. I was at somebody's house, and they had mites under boxwoods that smelled like a kennel.
Mm-hmm.
And got the paper out, and there they were, just crawling around.
Yes, but if you're not looking for them, then until it starts to smell like a kennel, you're not aware of the infestation.
It's hard to see; they're very hard to see, and you have to be observant about it. And I walk up to people's houses, and you smell it, and you look at it, and I know right away what's wrong. And it's one of the topics of discussion while we're going around the yard. There are several remedies for that too.
Okay.
The Dicystone is one. The Orthene is a good one, too. Mm-hmm. It's a systemic type, acephate type insecticide.
Okay.
Imidacloprid will not work on mites.
No.
It's only an insecticide thing. The nervous system is a little different in them than insects.
Right.
So it doesn't affect them. So that's not a solution. So you have to use the right use the right prescriptive ones.
Cure for the pest.
Right. While it's cool like this, you can use potassium salts of fatty acids.
Okay.
Or the neem oil is another very effective way to control mites, too. It's also a life cycle interrupter, but doesn't have to do anything with mites because they have a different life cycle than the other ones. But it'll take care of the insects that are around there, too. But it still works across the board between the two. It works through the skin contact.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to repeat applications. Neem oil is also a very effective fungicide, too.
Okay.
So if you have powdery mildew, and some people are coming in with powdery mildew on their plants, the lilacs, the usual, you know, the same old song and dance, the lilacs and things like that that get it pretty bad, that'll usually control that, too.
So it's a matter of, again, first of all, the right advice, stopping by the nursery or giving us a call, 918-336-1400. Get your question out on the air, because you're not the only one that's going to have that question. If you're dialing the phone, there's 10 or 12 other people out there with the same question.
Mm-hmm.
Drop by the nursery and take a sample of what you got, or call Larry out and say, can you look at my whatever it is?
Yeah, take a sample of what you got. If there's a plant that you really like that you might want to get, but you don't want to cut off a twig because it's the neighbor's yard with a shotgun, take your iPhone, take a picture of it if you have one of those. I don't have one of them things, but...
use film. Do what you have to do.
Or you'd bring the digital camera or something and then take a picture of it, and then we can more than likely identify it based on that.
Mm-hmm.
But an actual leaf sample is a good way to ID a plant, too. We get quite a bit of that. What is this plant? And I'll rattle off some Latin name, and their eyes just roll normally. And that's, take me a minute. I'll figure out what the common name is. and then we can show them the plant that they're looking for, or maybe another one, or perhaps we can find one somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a matter of getting it out there. What other pests should we start being aware of? I mean, borers, I think, are always a situation that crop up in the summertime around here.
I've not seen a whole lot of fresh damage from borers, really.
Good.
So I think the winter probably may hurt them back a little bit or something. I don't know. But usually borers aren't a big problem until the fall.
Yeah.
That's when moles are a really nasty problem right now.
Okay.
I've got a yard full of them.
Really?
Or just one or two that makes it seem like a yard full.
Which is the same difference, yeah.
And people ask me, how do I get rid of the moles? And I tell them I set my mower up all the way, and that's the most effective way to control them. Just mow over them and don't mow it so low. But that's probably not the right answer. But we have several mole remedies at the nursery. We have everything from the physical traps to some worms that are flavored and then poisoned. And you put them in their little trenches and they eat them and go that way. And then a mole repellent, which is a castor oil product.
Okay.
The castor oil is extremely irritating to the mole, and it sort of makes them go away.
Find some place that doesn't smell so bad.
Well, that, and doesn't irritate their nose.
Yeah.
And little weenie dogs work really well, too, for moles.
Oh, hadn't thought about it. Yeah, sure, they would. Yeah.
And cats and things do pretty good. So there's a lot of ways to control them, and you just have to be persistent. You have to know the mole's activity, their main channels and all that. You do that by flattening their tunnels, and whichever ones come back up again, and flatten it again, and if it comes back in the same place, well, that's its main channel, and that's the area you need to target. They have patterns that are sort of like tree trunks.
Mm-hmm.
They have a main highway, if you will, and then they branch off from that to explore different areas. It's a pretty efficient use of time and space, really.
Sure.
Maybe we all learn something from a mole. But anyway, so knowing their main channels is a good way to know how to control them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use several methodologies to get rid of them, with the exception of the repellent. In that case, you can use a trap and the poison worms in those vicinities like that and take care of them.
Okay.
So know thine enemy, I guess, is a good term to use.
It is, yeah. 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936, and we invite your phone calls this morning, as always, on Green Country Gardener.
If painting is on your to-do list, head to Peter's True Value today. Buy 1 gallon of Easy Care Interior Ultra Premium Paint and Primer in 1, Easy Care Platinum Paint and Primer in 1, Weatherall Ultra Premium or Weatherall Extreme Paint, and get the second gallon at 50% off. All paints are low VOC, offer one coat coverage, and all are mold and mildew resistant and washable. They're all backed by a lifetime warranty. Some restrictions apply. apply. Peter's True Value, new location at 1865 North Osage, Highway 75 in Dewey. Open 8 to 7 Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Saturday, and they will be open Memorial Day.
American Heritage Bank is ready when you are. Whether you need us once a week or once a year, American Heritage Bank stands ready to serve all of your financial needs. From the basic checking account for your graduate going off to college, to investing in your business by allowing us to help you with your commercial real estate loan, or advising you on a comprehensive retirement plan through our in-house investment center, we are fully equipped to go the distance for you. It's simply better banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Don't forget to like us on Facebook.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in
918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. The numbers to get you on Green Country Garden this morning. And I think we have a caller standing by through the break. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
All righty. Yes.
Doing pretty good so far. What's up for you this morning?
Well, I was just thinking, when we lived at Nowater, we moved into a house and mice was bad coming into the house, and there was moles in the yard. And one spring, oh, about this time of year, a little old skunk ended up on our back porch finishing off my dog food. So I couldn't let him off. He didn't bother me, so all I'd tap on the door if he was out there and I wanted to go out, and he'd back off. And he lived there a couple of years, and in that length of time, we ended up with no mice in the house the next winter, and I didn't realize it till later on, but he got rid of the moles. I don't know if it's an always happened thing, but with that skunk living there, and he lived in a culvert just on out on the street when he wasn't in around eating. But when I, that winter after, he was just a little bitty thing, and I didn't have any mice come in, I left him around, and he was still inhabiting that area when we moved over here to Bartlesville. But I don't know if the skunks always catch moles, but he seemed to eliminate all those out of the, we had a small church there and even took care of the ones in that churchyard, and that was where they was the worst.
Yeah.
And what have you. So maybe somebody just needs to give him a pet skunk. Now, he was wild because some of the cats and stuff got tangled with him, and he would definitely scent the neighborhood. But, all I had to do is tap on the deal. We had our deep freeze out on that the back porch because it was, you know, covered, screened in, and you know, solid halfway up.
Yeah.
I just tap on the door till he looked at me, and I could go out there and get stuff out of the deep freeze, and he would never bother. But when we had cats, but boy, I tell you what, that skunk sure did the number on the mice and the moles.
I'll be darned. Okay. Well, I guess if you're friends with a skunk, then sure, they can be beneficial to they.
Yeah, my kids nicknamed him Mr. Skunk. I asked him how they knew he was a mister, but anyway.
Or Pepe Le Pew.
Probably a miss, but anyway, so. All right, I'll let somebody else go.
Well, sure. I appreciate the phone call this morning. A little unorthodox, but it works.
Well, that's an example of nature balancing things out.
Yeah.
And when you have an infestation of something like of an animal like that, something's going to move in and take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah. First of all, we caught in a 24-hour period, we caught 24 mice. And so I was glad when he came around. There was a little old creek that ran down through there, of course, by my yard. It went underneath. You know, the ground they had had a tail down through there. But just on the other side of the alley, it was just grown up bushy stuff on the neighbor's property and I think even some of the city property there.
Right.
But so I was glad that he moved, that his mama moved, whichever one it was, a boy or girl, out, and he decided to come taste my dog food, and then he helped me out. So I let him have all the dog food he wanted.
Yeah, got rid of those mice and those moles. Yeah, that's worth it. Some
Yeah, it sure was to me, because it made the mowing a lot nicer.
Okay, thank you very much for the phone call. That is an interesting tale. I mean, it makes sense as he tells it, but it's not something I'd have thought about.
Well, that's IPM, Integrated Pest Management, and a symbiotic relationship between something wild like that. But you want to be careful around wild animals.
Absolutely.
They can get angry.
Good morning, caller. You're on Green Country Gardener. How can we help you out this morning?
I think I've got the wrong. This is not consumer calls.
Not quite yet.
Same number, wrong time of day. If you want to call back.
Oh, okay. All right. What time does the other one start?
Starts about 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, about
thank
a half
you
an hour
so
from
much.
Now. Okay.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Yeah, right number, wrong time, but you're welcome to call.
Sure.
918-336-1400 for the listeners that did not call, or 1-800-749-5936. And
yeah, other critters and beasts that are around there. Yeah. This year, typically when we dig around a lot of people's yards,
mm-hmm.
and we found some fairly large black widow spiders.
That's
so if you're going to be digging around your yard and all that, and some rocks and things, you want to make sure to have on your leather gloves.
Spiders in general, but
They're out in numbers.
Yeah.
2 years ago, they were horrible. They were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we're starting to see a recurrence of some black widow spiders. So be very careful when you're gardening.
Absolutely. Good morning, caller. You are on Green Country Gardener. How can we help you out today?
Well, I'm interested in crepe myrtles.
Yes, crepe myrtles.
Do they bloom all summer?
They bloom for a period of time, beginning in mid to late June, and pretty much up until September. So a fairly lengthy period of time, yes.
Well, are they kept small? Can you keep them, crepe myrtle, can you trim the back so they stay small bush all the time?
No. You pick out a variety of crepe myrtle that doesn't get tall. And
I see.
There's some spreading type, which are really low, and then there's a new series of crepe myrtles called Princess, which is about 3 feet tall. And then you have the dwarf crepe myrtle, which gets 6 feet tall. And then the standard crepe myrtle in this neck of the woods, you'd plant on about 12 feet at the most.
Oh, dear.
So that's kind of what you want to do. If you want one 6 feet tall, pick out one that's got the name Petite with it, or Dwarf. If you want one that gets about 3 feet tall, you might consider a Princess Anne or Princess, what are these? We got some over there. It's a series of crepe myrtles that are only 3 feet tall. And then you got the tightwads, which are about a foot and a half tall, and the Pocomoke, which is another one, and then there's a spreading variety. So there's all kinds of choices of crepe myrtles.
I see.
They don't all get to be sequoia trees.
I get from the tone of her voice she's already got one, though.
Oh, well. If you've got one, yeah, cut it back 3 feet, 3 to 4 feet down below the point where you want it to get height-wise in that year. For instance, if you only want it 8 feet tall, you want to cut it probably 2 to 3 feet tall.
Well, all right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the phone call, and good luck on either selecting or pruning your crepe myrtle. Good morning. You're on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you today?
Hey, Larry.
Yeah.
I've got a question. You've been out at my old place. I'm out now in town.
Uh-huh.
But I've got a tree that's got a huge hole in it. I mean, probably good foot around.
Wow.
And I don't know what kind of tree this is, but there's about a 30-foot section on top that's just dead.
Yeah.
The rest of it's still alive and everything.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't know what kind of tree it was. And also, since I accidentally mowed down the wife's flowers in the back.
Uh-oh. You're in trouble now, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know they were there.
Well,
and
put a cot in the garage. You'll be all right for a while.
Yeah, the irises. How long does it take for those to come back, do you know?
The irises, they'll come back. They have a very robust root system, and they'll be back really without any problems.
Because I didn't mean to mow those down. I knocked them down.
Yeah, they should be okay. And sometimes they... In July and August, it's a good idea to cut them down like that anyway.
A little too soon.
A little bit, yeah, but they should come back okay. I wouldn't be concerned about the iris. And what other species of flowers did you have out there?
I don't know what the others are in the front. They're kind of bush, and I weeded a bit down.
Yeah.
Because it was dead, and now it didn't take it all. The weeder didn't take all of it out. Left like three little pieces.
Okay.
Now there's some little green leafed out short plant in the bottom.
Okay. Well, the root system on that plant is still intact, and it's going to do a lot to feed the top of the plant. So it'll probably grow quicker and be bigger by the end of the summer than planting a new one. So
okay.
You're probably okay on that score, too.
And have you ever heard of blue roses?
Blue roses?
There's yeah, some. My wife's friend apparently found a blue rose bush. It grows blue roses. And
we had some of those a few years ago, and they were fine, but the genetics were somewhat recessive, and it's not the strongest plant in the world, but you still get a kind of a unique flower color.
Yeah, I never heard of them, so. But I thought, well, I was calling ask after, well, Larry know about that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. they really try hard to be blue, but it's kind of a real, almost an indigo, really.
Yeah.
which is sort of blue with a little bit of red in it, but.
Yeah, and I never heard of them, so I thought, well, I'd call and ask.
Yeah, they're around, but they're kind of hard to grow, and unless you have the right place for them, they're not overly showy, and the plant tends to be a little bit weak. But other than that, it's kind of a novelty.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting something, but I didn't know what kind of roses you recommend for the area.
Well, actually, Drift Rose is a very good one. I've got experimented with one in my backyard, and it's right now, it's just covered in flowers. And they bloom longer than the knockout roses. They're very consistent about their bloom time in the summer, even in the heat. So you might and they don't get so tall either. So you might consider maybe a drift rose, perhaps.
Okay, because I've known I've had some knockouts before. I didn't like them.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know what would be better than those.
Yeah, we've had very good luck with the drift rose, and as far as consistency of bloom. And quantity of blooms, it's been a performer, so we're very pleased with that variety.
Well, I may have to come and take a look when I get paid.
I think that'd be a good idea.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you much. And we got another call coming in. Let's just answer this one right away.
Okay. Oh, well.
I recognize that caller. Good morning. You are on the air. What can we do for you today?
Yeah, I have a question about some trees for Larry.
Go ahead.
Okay. Larry, I work out at Wooler Rock, and I work in the lodge, and there's two cedar trees right out the kitchen from us out in the central grounds.
Right.
And, you know, earlier this year when the leaves came out, one of them came out just like normal. The other one didn't come out at all.
Right.
And, but just here in the last week or so, the other one, we all thought it was had maybe died over the winter, but now it's come out with leaves again.
Right.
And I was just curious if you had a reason why one tree, and they're only about 20 feet apart.
Right.
And they're planted in the same conditions. There's a little stream that flows from that central pond there in the central grounds there.
Right.
So they both get, I'm sure, the equal amount of water.
Right.
And I was just curious why one tree would not come out with leaves for a whole month later.
There are a lot of variables in the equation on that. The one that came out later probably is sitting on top of a rock, maybe.
Oh, that's very possible.
And then there's less quantity of water in the ground in that area. It's a quantitative thing, really. And perhaps that might be the main reason why it was a bit late, because it sort of got caught without enough sustenance to keep it really going in the winter, that particular one, or somewhat less than the other. So, yeah, they're even from 20 feet apart, there are some variables in what's underground.
Yeah.
And the only way to ensure that they're the same is to dig a great big old hole with a backhoe and do identical preparations on it. But that's probably what happened.
Yeah, well, they're both planted right next to this little stream.
Yeah.
They're not farther apart from the stream, and
right.
The stream always, you know, has overflow coming from that that main little pond there. But I bet you you're right about the thing with the rock, because that's a common problem out here.
Yeah, and it just, it could have some roots in the stream. It was kind of dry, too, so the stream probably wasn't very streamy at the time. So would that be an extreme?
Yeah.
But anyway, I imagine that's what happened.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. I was just curious.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for the call this morning, and we continue to welcome your calls this morning. 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936. We'll take your phone call coming up in just a moment.
If you're replacing your old windows, make sure you replace your old window problems. Go with the most trusted name in windows, Anderson Windows and Doors. Time proven, durable, low maintenance, and energy efficient. And with their beautiful wood interiors, you're not just replacing, you're upgrading. Anderson 400 Series replacement products, because there's no replacement for confidence. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overlease Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses wants you to know it's not too late to plant. Green Thumb is still getting shipments in on a daily basis of annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, and veggies to make your landscape and gardens thrive. And as a reminder, every Wednesday is 10% discount day on regular priced items. Trust the experts at Green Thumb Nursery, they know plants. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, and noon to 5 on Sundays.
(918) 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. The numbers to get you on the air on Green Country Gardener. And we've got open phone lines. If you'd like to give us a call, you could be the next one up.
The warm weather has brought out some blooms in our gardenias.
Mm-hmm.
We have some that are hardy in this neck of the woods.
Okay.
And they're really beginning kind of fragrant right now.
Well, sure.
Don't light a match. You know, they're pretty strong.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
But some preparation has to be done to the soil before you plant them. They don't like our clay soil. They like soil that's well-drained
mm-hmm.
and somewhat acidic in nature with a lot of available iron.
Okay.
So you might consider getting some iron sulfate or a good broad-based fertilizer. Like the Color Star fertilizer or the mm-hmm. NutriStar fertilizer, because it does have the trace elements in it.
Okay.
The Espoma products, too. The organic Espoma products have
yes.
a lot of available trace elements, too. And I say the word available.
I mean, that's a key differentiating factor.
Yeah, you can put all the iron you want in there, but if the plant can't use it, it's
yeah.
useless. So, or you can put some old rusty nails in the ground. That'll help, too. But
a lot of iron, but yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so you want to follow up with an application of a superior fertilizer product. The 10-20-10, you know, is fine for cotton and wheat, but
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't use it for gardenias and, you know, plants and things, too. So, think about getting something like that, too. The Happy Frog, when we can get it, we had it this spring, but our supplier just hadn't been able to get it to us. I guess there's a big demand for it.
Well, that shows that a lot of people seem to think it's going to do a good job for them.
Yeah. So we're still trying to get some more of that stuff in. But it's been a good seller, and people have very good luck with it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think we still have a little bit left there. So come get it while it's gone, while it's there.
Okay.
And they failed to deliver this week on it also. So we're trying to get some more. But anyway, we got a lot of other things to
other
prepare
things?
The soil with. Yes.
Okay. Stop by and describe your soil situation, and they can prescribe the right item for you.
You bet.
Good morning. You are on Green Country Gardener. Caller, what can we do for you today?
Good morning, Sunshine. How are you?
Doing
good.
Great.
Okay, somebody gave me a butterfly bush.
Yes.
So what do I need to do so I don't kill it?
Just feed it lots of butterflies. No.
First of all.
Well, I thought it could be indoors, so I brought it to my office because it had all these really neat blooms, but I don't think it's happy.
No. The butterfly bush really likes it outdoors.
Okay.
It likes a lot of fresh air and sunshine. So an area that's well-drained, an area we can allow to grow fairly large, if it's a regular butterfly bush, then
okay.
it should do okay. But they do like the open sun, well-drained situation. And it takes a little bit of consciousness, I guess, to get it established. You have to be aware of its watering needs initially when you plant it. And then,
oh, dear, this is probably going to be my first problem.
Well, we got a guy who can help you out here.
Well, anyway.
No, the conscientious part.
Oh, okay.
I don't want things to grow wild.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, actually.
I'm thinking about putting, now, so we can take direct sun, because I'm thinking about putting it on the front of the house that, I guess, that would face east.
Okay. It'll do pretty good. If it's open east, it'll do fine. Is it a standard a butterfly bush, or is it a dwarf or a miniature butterfly bush?
Well, I don't know. It hasn't attracted any butterflies yet, so I'm not real sure.
Oh, well.
Well, let me look here. Okay, a pentas, P-E-N-T-A-S.
Oh, pentas. Oh, that's an annual flower. That's not the butterfly bush I was thinking of.
Oh, well, it says it's butterfly. Oh, so it's not going to come
they,
back?
The penta plants attract butterflies. They love the butterflies. I mean, they love the penta plants. So a penta is an annual. So, yeah, it could go easily on the house somewhere, which is regular old soil, good preparation on the east side. It should do fine.
And okay, but it won't come back.
No. The pentas generally are not hardy in the winter.
Okay. Okay. If I bring it in, would it live or not?
I don't think so. No, they sort of like to be outside too. If you can really get maximum light for it, it'll probably make it okay in the house. But generally, we don't expect them to live in the house very well.
Okay.
Unless you have a sunroom or something, then it should do okay.
No, I don't. No.
Yeah, but pentas are annuals, and plant it somewhere where it gets good sun, good morning exposure sun, will be fine. And prep the soil real good, keep it watered for a bit, and it should do just fine in the heat.
Well, then if it's an annual, should I just leave it in a pot and set it out there?
You can. You can leave it in the pot. It'll do fine. If it,
cause it's, so when it dies, it's not going to be my fault.
Well, if it dies in October, it won't be your fault. If it dies in June.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess there is that. Oh, well, bummer. I was all excited that it would just be there all the time. Well, I guess I better come get a butterfly bush. I used to have one, like, way back when, but yeah. I don't remember how I took care of it or, you know, what it needed.
Well, generally, you don't do a whole lot to them. But getting them established, it's, you know, after that establishment period, it's pretty much on its own.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, I'm glad I called because I would have just felt so bad when it died.
Well, sure. Now, advice on butterfly bushes, and you've got, there are several different varieties that she can choose from.
Yeah, there's some small ones, which you can put close to the house, and there's some your miniature butterfly bush, and then there's the standard ones, which get to be of good size. They do very well up against a fence or something out in the open. But I wouldn't put a standard butterfly bush close to the house, unless you might put it 6 or 8 feet away from the house to let it go ahead and grow and develop properly. But give them lots of room, and they'll do fine.
Yeah, I like the great big ones. I think that's what I had before.
Yeah.
So if it's up close to a house or structure or anything, how far away does it have to be?
Probably about 6 feet out.
Okay.
That's going to seem rather distant at the onset. But it'll grow it'll grow into that, and it'll seem pretty close after a while.
I mean, it'll kind of look like it's, you know, antisocial. It'll just kind of be out there, the island unto itself.
Yeah.
Yep.
So does it have to have anything special then, as far as the soil? I'm like dewy areas, so I don't think we have rocks, but I'm not real sure we...
Dewey has pretty good soil, so I think you're going to be all right on the soil type. Fertility tends to be a little lacking over there, though, so you might want to give it some fertilizer when you plant it.
Okay.
But cool. Keep them fertilized.
And do you have the big butterfly bushes?
Yeah, I think we got a few of them out by the light pole, but yeah, we got some.
So am I going to have to plant a light pole beside it so it doesn't have withdrawal or anything? or is it out by the light pole because those are the rejects?
No, that's just where we put the flowering shrubs, the Rose of Sharon.
Oh, okay.
And the gardenia. Right. It's close to the faucet, too, so we can water them better. So.
Okay, so I just come and ask to look at your light pole, and I'll find the bushes.
There you go.
Okay, there. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, thanks for calling.
We're having fun with butterfly bushes this morning. Thank you for
calling.
Butterfly
bushes and light poles and skunks, yes.
Enjoy your penta, too, by the way. Thank you very much for calling. We'll take a break and wrap up this program with more of your phone calls with or without pentas and skunks in just a moment.
OK Federal Credit Union is open to anyone that lives, works, or worships in Washington, Osage, or Nowata counties. Being a Bartlesville-based credit union since 1955, they know their members. OK Federal Credit Union has checking accounts with no monthly fee and actually pays you a dividend as long as your balance stays over $400. With competitive rates for cars, boats, RVs, and more, OK Federal Credit Union will make your dreams a reality. Stop by and join OK Federal Credit Union today at 3900 Southeast Adams Road or visit their website at okfcu.org. OK Federal Credit Union. They want to be your credit union.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod expert, Enterprise Sod Store at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Home where the river runs cold, the water tastes good, the winters ain't cold. Home where the trees grow tall, the
home fires burn, the whippoorwills call.
918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. The numbers to get you on the air on Green Country Gardener. Got about 4 minutes or so to work in your phone calls. That's enough for a couple of calls if you're dialing now.
Okay. Other things at the nursery?
Yeah.
We've got plenty of herbs.
Okay.
To look at. And they've kind of grown up a little bit, and they're in those tight shoes, so we got to sail on them. So.
All right, okay.
On the smaller size.
Sail on herbs.
And, golly, other things, we've got just sporadic stuff here and there on sale, the geraniums and whatnot. So a lot of houseplants, too. And the shrubs, you know, the flowering shrubs, we've got quite a few of those, too.
Okay.
So your color?
We do. I kind of looked. Somebody down the hall picked up the line. I'm kind of waiting for them to. There we go. Now we can pick it up. Good morning. You are on Green Country Gardener. How can we help you out this morning?
What I was wondering is if there is anything that I can deter the squirrels from eating my rose moss. They just love that stuff, and it's so beautiful, but they just absolutely devastate it.
Put a. You have a bird bath?
I'm sorry.
Do you have a bird bath at the house?
I have this planted in a bird bath.
Okay. Well, actually, the rose moss has a lot of water in it. And I expect they're trying to find some source of water, and that would be a very good source of water for them. Because
I've had a bird bath out here that's had water that's near there that they
don't go
they
to that.
They use the bird bath, but they also eat the rose moss.
Oh, so I guess they consider that maybe a tasty...
They just love that stuff. They'll cut it off, and I'll run them off, and I'll see where there's a lot of it is just cut off and laid over there. You know, they've been eating, and then they apparently dropped it when I run them off. But.
Okay, here's what you can do. Get a spray bottle and put some water in it with a little bit of soap and spray your rose moss with it, and then take some chili pepper and sprinkle it on top.
Oh... That's what I was wondering, if that would work.
Yeah, no, that'll work against squirrels because they can taste it. You want the hot stuff, you know.
The cayenne or something like that.
Yeah, and that'll sort of teach them that this is not something they want to eat, and then they'll go drink their water out of the bird bath like they should. But anyway, it's kind of they are mammals, so it's kind of a learning thing. And if they learn that, all of a sudden these plants went bad because they're really hot and spicy, and they burn my mouth, and then they'll go somewhere else.
Well, that makes sense. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye, and appreciate your phone call this morning on Green Country Gardener.
The reason why I put a little soap in there is because the rose moss naturally, the water bounces off of it.
Yeah, you need to cut that waxy layer.
And then it also helps the capsaicin or the stuff, the pepper here. Mm-hmm. So okay.
Yeah, sure. Just as a wetting agent, just helps it
stick to it. Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned a couple of items on sale. The
nursery. Oh, yeah, the nursery. Yeah. Yeah, just a few of the odds and ends are on sale. There's just a lot of them, so come by and check it out.
Good supply of geraniums still.
Geraniums that we're starting to run out. It's about time to run out, but we're kind of running out of geraniums.
Okay.
And so we still have some to look at though, and. Just all kinds of annuals and flowers. I mean, we're just well stocked right now. So just about anything you might want.
That's a nice thing. Annuals. Well, annuals are nice.
The sun or the shade or drought tolerant plants, lilacs. I mean, lavenders.
Like we say, if you have lilacs, you're doing well.
Lavenders and other things like that, and all kinds of sedums. These are all kind of drought tolerant rock garden type plants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing we probably need to focus on in light of the fact that you're not really letting it rain enough, is to. Don't look at me like that. But anyway, we probably want to go ahead and plan for it not being very wet this year.
I think that's a prudent thing to do. But to stop by the nursery every few weeks, take a look at the annuals, see what's in bloom then, and then you'll have that same item in bloom next year.
You bet. You know. Your perennials, yes.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, anyway.
That's what I meant to say, yeah.
And some fertilizers, too. The all kinds of specific fertilizers for your plants that do real well, and tomato fertilizers, and there's one called it's in a little red Mater Magic. God, we've had people just come back for more of that because it has the stuff that tomatoes really need.
Okay, so stop by Green Thumb Nursery.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K22.